Our next speaker is Laura Duran. Laura is Chief Counsel and Associate Executive Director at the California Teachers Association. She will speak about how teachers unions are advancing the public interest. Laura, go ahead.
Thank you. We all care about living in safe, healthy communities where people have equal opportunities to attain their potential and share in economic prosperity. This is central to the American dream. I'm here to talk about how unions play a critical role in achieving the American dream and how teachers unions in particular are powerful advocates for the public interest. The passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg reminded us that she lived the American dream. And maybe some of you saw this last week, Chief Justice Roberts, John Roberts, gave a eulogy at her memorial. And he started by saying that Justice Ginsburg used to ask, what is the difference between a bookkeeper and a Supreme Court justice? The answer, one generation. I, too, was fortunate to experience the American dream in one generation. My parents were ethnic Germans who were displaced by the Second World War and came to the U.S. as refugees with very little formal education and little more than the proverbial clothes on their back. And my dad became a tool and die worker in a factory, and he was able to provide a dignified working class life for our family because he had a reasonably well-paid unionized job. My dad's union job gave me the economic security to pursue my dreams. I ended up graduating from Stanford Law School, clerking for a federal judge, becoming a partner at a law firm, and now being chief counsel for one of the largest labor organizations in California. And that is what unions actually do for many of us, so many of us. And they do it in different and important ways. Now, I'm going to briefly touch on how unions help families achieve the American dream. And then I'm going to highlight just a few quick examples of how teachers' unions promote great schools for all students and a more equitable and healthy society for all of us. So how do unions counteract increasing economic inequality that threatens the American dream? Well, let's recall some facts. Shortly after American workers won the right to unionize, which incidentally was won via bloodshed and a lot of agitation, America experienced the greatest period of middle class growth in its history, growth based on earnings, not on debt. Now, from the 1950s to the 1970s, unions like the one that represented my dad bargained for decent wages, sick leave, health care, secure retirement benefits. They gave workers a voice, dignity in the workplace. Those union jobs were the very backbone of the American dream. But the middle class has been losing ground since the 1980s. Now, rising income inequality in America has correlated closely with declines in union density, particularly in the private sector. In the private sector, as many of you, I'm sure, know, middle class incomes have declined steadily as union membership rates have declined. And income inequality is reaching the most extreme levels in over half a century, where by some calculations, 90% of us only have about 14% of the U.S. wealth. Now, unions can help right the ship again. Workers covered by a union contract earn on average over 11% more in wages than non-unionized peers in the same industry and with similar education and experience, Aaron references earlier. Black and Latinx workers get an even larger boost from unionization. Black workers represented by a union are paid almost 14% more than their non-unionized peers, and Latinx workers represented by unions are paid over 20% more than their non-unionized peers. We also know that workplace safety, paid sick leave, health care, these things are all critically important to a functioning, advanced economy. And unions pushed for these systems, and we're protecting them now during the COVID-19 pandemic when they're more important than ever. Now, regaining a robust middle class would benefit all of us in many ways, including by creating a strong consumer base for business. Now, we can all agree, too, that in addition to a strong consumer base, businesses need a well-educated workforce, and that means investing in schools and teachers. And no one pushes for those investments more than educators. Teachers' unions are fierce advocates for their students, their communities, and, I would argue, the American dream. Let me quickly just mention a few examples in my very short time. One, teachers' unions have worked hard to dismantle sexism, particularly in the workplace. Teachers' contracts have long provided equal pay for equal work. Two, the California Teachers Association has a very long history of advocating for students, from advocating for free public schools in the first place back in 1866, to sponsoring legislation to ensure free textbooks for kids in 1911, to securing bilingual education for English learners more recently. Further, teachers are also powerful advocates for small class sizes, as some of the other speakers have referenced. But the reality is those small class sizes are very helpful, and they're particularly helpful for students of color and low-income kids. And they're very popular with parents and educators, and they create positive learning conditions for kids and positive working conditions for teachers, because teachers' working conditions are students' learning conditions. Teachers unions engage in what we call bargaining for the common good. For example, CTA chapters advocate for wraparound services for students and services for immigrant youth. Now, as a final and important example of what teachers unions do for all of us in the public interest, they are strong advocates for adequate and equitable resources for schools. Now, in California, for example, teachers unions have helped reform the school funding system so that districts that serve the neediest kids, these are districts with relatively high percentages of foster youth, poor students, and English learners, those districts now get additional funding. And this reform made the funding system here more equitable because it does take greater resources to serve those student populations. But school funding must be adequate in addition to being equitable. And a real-time example right now of how teachers unions push for adequate school funding and how we tackle systemic inequities is California Proposition 15, which is on the November ballot. Teachers unions, working in a coalition with other organizations, are sponsoring this voter initiative, and it would reform the state's lopsided tax structure by closing a loophole in our current property tax system in California, which allows many large commercial properties to avoid paying property taxes based on their fair market value. For over 40 years, that lopsided situation, that loophole, has starved California's K-12 schools and our community colleges for resources, and has deprived the state and local communities of resources we need for other important public services like public health, which we all know in this time is a strapped system. Teachers unions' advocacy on this issue reflects what we all know to be true, which is that when we invest in schools, we all win. And investing in schools goes hand in hand with investing in a very strong middle class. The American dream that benefited me, Justice Ginsburg, and countless others is out of reach for too many of us. And strong unions are a key institution that can correct our course and ensure our shared prosperity. Now, I'm going to be running out of time, so I'm not planning to address all the arguments around why I think focusing on firing the handful of ineffective teachers is a distraction, but I just do want to end by saying, and I hope that we have time in the Q&A to address that, but I do want to end by saying what our real problems are in terms of in-school factors are the fact that we have actually incredible teacher shortages, and we are having difficulty attracting and retaining teachers in the profession. That's a far larger problem than figuring out how to fine-tune different systems for how you counsel out bad teachers or deal with ineffective teachers. We have serious teacher shortages, and we need to get serious about figuring out how to make teaching a more attractive profession. And I'm happy to talk about it in the Q&A because I think I'm probably out of time, Larry, right?
Great, yeah.
Thanks.
Laura, thank you.